Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, God has a plan for you. Just be patient, and He'll see you through. Don't give up till the battle is won. Put your faith in Jesus, He is the one. When you are alone and think no one cares, take it over to Jesus. He's listening, and your burden He'll share. Oh my God, oh my God, has a plan for you, a plan for you. Sometimes I wonder what the meaning of it all. Every step I take, I seem to slip and fall. I fall short of my hope, my dreams and aspiration. Lord, I just don't know about my situation. Every time I think about it, throw it in the towel. There's a voice inside of me say, hold on, keep the faith, my child. Oh, my God, my God has a plan for you. Oh, He got a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Just be patient, He'll see you through. And don't give up till the battle is won. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, cause He is the one. When you're all alone and think no one cares, take it over to Jesus. He's listening, your burden He'll share. Oh my God, it's no secret to what God will do. What He does for others, He will do the same for you. I know you read about Him turning water into wine. He'll heal the sick and all give sight to the blind. So your situation will never get too hard. Put it in God's hand and watch your problem resolve. Oh, my God, my God, He got a plan for you. Oh, yes, He got a plan. God has a plan, a plan for you. Just be patient, and He'll see you through. And don't give up till the battle is won. Take it over to Jesus, He's listening, and your burden He'll share. Oh my God, oh my God, has a plan for you. Oh yes, He do. He has a plan.
Amen. He has a plan for you. This is Reaching Out Radio International. I'm your host, Apostle, Prophet, Evangelist Edward Eberle. I'm the host of the program, God's Plan. I'm the host of the program right here, God's Hour of Truth. Amen. God's Hour of Truth. Yes. I was speaking about my message. I was thinking about my message, and I gave the message instead of the title of the program. I'd like to welcome everybody here this evening. Praise God. Love to have you here with me, and I'm really glad to be here tonight. God has really been great to each and every one of us. He really has, and it's been a blessed week for my wife and I also. It's been a wonderful time in the Lord, and I have some wonderful things to share with you tonight. In fact, it's part three of God's Plan for His People. In this hour, part three, I wanted to tell you that on the on-demand section, you can listen to part one and part two, and you really need to listen to them and put them together because there was a foundation laid in part one. Part two, there was a partial foundation, also the fruits of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, which is nine fruits of the Spirit. And in this one tonight, we started last week, on the gifts of the Spirit, which are three sets of gifts. In fact, there's the revelation gifts, the power gifts, and the vocal gifts. We had started on the revelation gifts and really just about finished them, but God gave me something this week here, and I have to just go on there to name a couple things He wants me to speak also just for a few minutes. Then we're going to go on to the power and the vocal gifts. This whole program, this whole series right here, began with the foundation. The foundation must be listened to first before we got into the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, because it goes together as a package, is really what it is. So I wanted to share that with you, but we're going to be getting into that here in a minute after we pray. But let's ask God's blessing upon this program tonight. Let's ask God that He will meet you where you're at, which He will do. He said He's a very present help in time of need and trouble, Psalms 46:1. And He'll meet you right where you're at tonight. Whatever it is, whatever you need to hear, He'll give you that word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You and praise You for the night, Father, this evening. We thank You that we're here this evening, Lord. I thank You that I'm here to be able to share Your word again. And those that are on the program listening, Lord, I thank You that they're here to listen and to receive of You. And Father, those that will listen to this program later in the on-demand section, I just pray that their ears and hearts will be open to receive, just like the ones right now when we're doing the program live. Father, tonight as we final out the series, as we finish the series, I believe that You would have us finish the series tonight, I just ask, Father, that those will just receive what they need to hear, what You would have them to hear, and they would understand what is happening and what You want to do in their lives, because I realize, Lord, that these teachings here in these three-part series right here applies to every Christian, Father, and it's so important that we hear this, and not only hear this, but we put it into practice in these final days, these last minutes before Jesus returns. We realize we must get this into action in our lives, that we will be walking in the last day remnant, Father, to do the work that You have designed before You send Your Son back. So, Father, I just thank You tonight that people are going to hear Your word, they're going to receive Your word, and are going to put it into practice and be used mightily of You, Father. And for all it's accomplished, we'll give You all the glory and all the praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And they all said, amen and amen and amen. Well, to start out tonight, I want to go back on the revelation gifts, because something happened on Sunday. God gave me a special word. It was a special thing, and I'll bring it into focus right here, that I didn't know before Sunday to share with you. It just happened. It really cemented a prophetical word that I got many years ago, and I'm going to share that with you to bring it into understanding. About 35 years ago, the Lord spoke, in fact, it's about 38 years ago now, it was 35 years ago when I initially put the word down, and it's found in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse number 25 and 26, and it goes like this: "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wonderfully with you. And my people shall never be ashamed." That means in the Hebrew, my people shall never be disappointed. Now, God gave me that, and when He gave that to me, I didn't really know how it really applied to me, because that, like I say, 38 years ago, I knew what it meant and things, but I didn't really have an understanding why. Well, during the years I've preached about it, I've taught about it, I've shared it, hundreds of people, I'm not exaggerating, it was the major thing that God put in my heart. If there's anything that you would ask me and say, what did God really put into your heart? That would be probably the most major thing, because he literally burnt that into my spirit. And he gave me another scripture in Habakkuk 2:3. Well, I won't read that one, but it speaks of the visions for the appointed time. Wait for it. Will not tarry. It will surely come to pass. And that's what I'm going to be telling you about tonight before we get into the gifts again. Now, what happened when God gave me that, it was about 3 years ago, he gave me really an understanding and Jewish roots of exactly what that was, exactly how it lined up, and it lined up into perfection. So I had that, and I said, well, praise the Lord, thank you. It's now, this is the time, because you hear the message about what God's doing these last days, how the transfer of the wealth from the wicked to the godly, and the mighty move that he's ready to do and is starting to do now and is doing. I can speak that by my own personal experience, as well as many that I've heard are being used to the Lord. And anyhow, in hearing that and saying that, I was listening to my online pastor, my streaming pastor on Sunday. I listen to it basically every Sunday. And I've been following the ministry for many years, one of the greatest ministries, as far as I'm concerned, in the world. And he was ministering to his people. They were sending him out to different areas to minister. They're going to New Orleans to minister during the Mardi Gras, and they're going to various other areas to minister. And he was up there speaking about that, and all of a sudden he stopped. He said, the Lord gave me something. And anyhow, he read these two scriptures I just read to you, and he spoke the other scripture about a point of time, and now is the time for all this. And he went on to say that we can't get our years back, you know, we can't get the years back that was stolen, as far as like our age, if we're 50 years old, 60, 70, whatever it is, he's not going to take you back those years where it began. But what God is doing right now, this is a word, and I'm going to tell you how it applies to the gifts of the Spirit in a minute. This is a word right now that God is getting ready for everything that's been stolen from you, from your health to your finances to your ministry. You name what was stolen from you by the devil. And I know I have a mountain that was stolen from me, and I know you do too, and we all do. We have much stolen from us. God is going to bring that back to us in the now. He's going to bring that back to us in the now. And as I told a minister friend of mine the other day, he's not bringing us a loaf of bread. He's bringing us the bakery, folks, because it is a bakery full. Amen? But he's bringing this bakery to us that we will use it for his glory, not for us to get fat on the bakery, to enjoy the bakery, but yet it's for us to be enjoyed, but to be used for his glory, because everything that God gives us, he wants us really to share with others. And that's what it's about. Now, you might say, why did you say that tonight? Well, it's a word of encouragement to you. It's a word from the Lord, thus saith the Lord. It's in concrete. It's not just a word that's said, but it's been brought to me and confirmed over the years, and other ministers are getting a hold of it now on television, some of the major ministers. And the thing that's happening is it's a reality, and it's coming into that, because it's going to take that for the great work that we're going to be used for, you see, what God's using us for. But now in the Revelation gifts, we're going to go back to Revelation gifts, and I'm going to tell you exactly what that was. I'm going to give you examples to what I was teaching last week. That was literally way back 38 years ago about, that was a word of wisdom that God gave me in those three scriptures about what's coming. Because, see, as we learned last week, the word of wisdom is speaking in the future, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, you see, good or bad. And that was speaking definitely in the future. Okay, that was a word of wisdom, okay? Okay, now remember last week I said many times the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom will be working together. Okay, when I got the word of confirmation a couple years ago, that was a confirmation of that, really of that word of wisdom. But whenever the pastor Sunday gave that message, in other words, he spoke that prophetic word out, he stopped everything he was doing in the church and literally brought that out. When he brought that out, that was a word of knowledge. In other words, that's a present thing. It's in the now. Now, you'll say, well, hey, I didn't receive that yet. It didn't happen to me yet, what you were speaking about. No, but what it is, it's an ongoing thing. It's a progressive thing. Sometimes it'll be immediate, the whole bakery, and other times it's a progressive situation. So that's like a culmination. That's a word of knowledge to those that have really been seeing that happen personally to them in a real heavy amount. And then some of us see that an amount is coming, but hasn't been the full bakery coming in. But that's what you call a word of knowledge, and with the word of wisdom right there, speaking the future. And that's a good thing. But it's not in the future like you'd say, well, that's going to be 19 or 2021 or something. We're speaking this year, this time, this hour. This is immediate thing. Pretty much as a word of knowledge for us to go forth and be the remnant army that God has called us to be before he sends his son back. So I wanted to share that with you. So you see, the word of wisdom was in the future. Now, when he spoke that the other day prophetically, that was the now, because he was giving the now type thing to it. So it's being released now all over. You see these things, God is releasing this. And I have noticed in my own life, my own ministry, how the anointing has increased so much in so many areas of what God is doing. And it's a thing that God is just doing things to people that are sweatless. It's really become sweatless. There's a much greater attacks on people. I know I've been receiving much stronger attacks than I've ever experienced in my life, but yet that goes with the territory there, because when the great things happen, you have these attacks come at you. But it's being progressive, where his power is just annihilating the works of the devil as you let him use you. And he's doing things that much easier through you than you ever experienced before, because this is a time for all. It's just a new thing for every one of us. I don't care if you had experience for 100 years or what you've done or how many you've done it with. It's an experience that we're experiencing is new. It's like there's a scripture in Isaiah 43:18-19. He said, behold, don't you see I'm doing a new thing? And then he goes on to tell you he'll put rivers in the desert and he'll make a way in the wilderness. He's doing a brand new thing, you see. This is a brand new thing he's doing that has never been done before in the history of the Bible. It's going to be a great time. It's really taking off picking up where Jesus left off, finalizing everything before he sent his son back. So I wanted to share that with you, and the part of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge giving you understanding. Now, as far as for anything else in this, you're going to have to listen to the other tapes, because I'm not going to reiterate on that. And there's another thing that I wanted to share with you on the when we're still on these revelation gifts. It's called discerning of spirits. And I didn't tell you this. Matter of fact, there's one before I get off of the word of wisdom. Sometimes God will give you something in the future that's going to happen, and it's not just for something you expect to happen. It's going to happen for you. It's a good thing, but it can be a very negative thing, and he gives you that, so you will pray, and you will detour. You will unrail that thing. In other words, he's warning you, hey, there's something coming your way. You're about to be attacked by this. You're about to be attacked by that. So that's when you and I are to get to praying, you see. That's when we're to pray. Sometimes he warns us that we will get to prayer about that thing and just throw it off the track, you see. So sometimes you get these things, not just as something you say, well, yes, thank you, Lord, and it's going to be in the future. I receive it. No, there's some things he gives us as a warning that you and I can prevent ourselves from receiving that thing. He's saying, hey, son, hey, daughter, pray. You see, sometimes he'll give you something in the future like that, a negative thing. So understand when these things come your way, if you're really to pray about that or something, which is very obvious most of the time that something's going to happen, you pray and break that thing, you see, because he warned you so you could pray so it will not happen, you see. So that's a word of wisdom. Okay, now that we've settled that, we're going to go to discerning of spirits for one more thing. I spoke what discerning of spirits was basically last week, but the deepest thing that I didn't share with you last week is when you actually see them with your eyes, you see those spirits, you see those imps with your eyes, and you see the things move and everything like that. When you actually see them with your spiritual eyes, you see them. And that is the highest level. But you don't have to see them with your eyes. And that's God. If God wants to show them to you with your eyes, fine. But when you know they're there, the thing is, you know it, you see. In fact, you know, Jesus said, remember he told Thomas, blessed are those that have seen, but more blessed are those that have not seen and believe me. So in other words, if I can believe God without seeing, having a lot of visions, and I can have maybe gold come down from heaven, and I can have teeth filled with gold. And that happens, folks. And God does these things. He does them with a purpose. But more blessed are those who can believe God without seeing anything, but just can believe Him and go forward, you say. But I'm not knocking or saying, speaking against anybody that has that happen a lot. Some people have that happen a lot. God shows them that a lot for various purposes. But I am saying more blessed are we that don't have to always see things from the heavenlies and angelic beings and things like that, and we still operate in the faith and the power of God, you see. But that's neither here nor there, but I just wanted to share that with you about our blessing. Because some people say, well, I've been kind of messed up here because I haven't seen this or I haven't seen that, so I mustn't be as spiritual as they are, as good as they are. No, don't take it that way. Don't take it that way. Just ask the Lord to show you things. And, you know, I pray that God will show me heavenly visions and more things like I do. I would like to see things more. But I'm not really too concerned about that because my faith is what I go by, and I trust the Lord. I just want to see His hand move in and through my life, you see. That's really what it's all about. When God is moving in your life personally and through your life personally, that's the real thing, you see. That's where the pedal hits the metal and hits the road, you see. Okay, I think we're through the gifts right there for the revelation gifts. So now we're going to go on to the power gifts. Now, recognize one thing about these gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is something that you and I operate in continually. It's something we cultivate in our life, you see. We have to allow it to work in us when we're challenged by things. We're going to be patient. We're going to be faithful. We're going to walk in love. And that's when we have to accept the fruit within us, and we act upon it and ask the Lord to help us to do it. And that's where He helps us, you see. So that's something that's with us 24/7. Now, these gifts of the Spirit, as we're speaking about here, the Holy Ghost gives them as He wills, not as you and I will. So these gifts come upon you whenever they're needed, you see, and what you're doing in there for ministry. They're to minister to others. It's all for service, for ministry, all these things. Our fruit of the Spirit is for us, for our own personal lives, our character. But the gifts of the Spirit for our ministry and for the power and the demonstrations of God, and He sees fit when He sees fit to give them and work them through it, you see. But you and I have to understand them a little bit and know those and have some understanding when they come upon us that we won't just do nothing, but we'll just act upon it, you see. We'll act upon it. We need to know. We need to know and have a little understanding. We can walk in these things as the Holy Ghost decides to use them in you and I. And I have probably some personal experiences I'll talk about here tonight a little bit about that, because I know when you first start a lot of things, it's a little shaky. And is this God? Is that God? You know, and there's things, and sometimes you feel like, well, I might be embarrassed if I do this. What if I mess up with this? You see, and how will that look? We'll talk about that. Okay, the power gifts. There's a gift of faith. And the gift of faith is a supernatural ability to believe God without doubt, combat unbelief, and visualize what God wants you to accomplish. It's not only the inner conviction impelled by the urgent and higher calling, but also a supernatural ability to meet adverse circumstances with trust in God's words and messages. Okay? When Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, raised him from the dead, that was a gift of faith in operation. Now, this gift of faith isn't your faith. You have faith, right? But it's a zap. That's what he explained it to you in a simple way. It's just like when he just brings faith upon you that you can't doubt God. You just feel like you're in a heavenly, and the heavenly is right there. You can't doubt anything. You have faith that you believe that you can do anything, you see, and it's an anointing that comes upon you. And you sense it, you see, and you sense it when it comes, and you surely sense it when it leaves. Now, this gift of faith is used when you're ministering to others. There's times I've had the gift of faith operate in me and healing, getting people healed, because I have a healing miracle ministry that God has given to me, and I operate in areas like that. And sometimes I've had that happen where I knew that person was healed just as soon as they walked up. They were up there, and that was it. You know, they were receiving. It was a done deal. I could tell them that, you see. In other words, I knew the new, in my knower, right? And that's what that brings forth. That gives you your knowing with inside you. You see that it's going to happen, whatever you're believing for. Now, I've also had times that when I pray for somebody, I release my faith, and I've seen blind eyes open just by using faith, not through having the gift of faith really operating in me, but faith. As I release my faith and the people receive it, I've seen that happen also, you see. But it's really, I always like the gift of faith in operation, because when you know that's in operation, there's some mighty things that are happening, which they do then, because it's for a purpose. And you have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in what to do with that. So the gift of faith, generally, we'll say like raising the dead. You know, the people raise the dead. And to show you how these gifts operate in unity with one another many times, like to raise somebody from the dead, there'd be three operations of the gifts there. There'd have to be faith, of course, the gift of faith. There'd have to be the gift of healing or gifts of healing, because that person evidently probably died from something or something happened there, you see, that caused them to die. And then the gift of miracles, because it's a miracle to restore life back into something that has no life and doing something right away. That's a miracle, you see, putting that together. So when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead or raised him from the dead, those three things were in operation. Now, when we do things like that, God calls us, if he calls you to raise the dead, or whatever it happened, that's basically what is happening. Those three gifts will be in operation. See, Jesus rose the dead, and many people say, well, yes, that was Jesus that rose the dead, but you're not going to raise the dead. There's many churches, many people in denominations sometimes don't even believe that. But you see, Jesus' character was the fruit of the Holy Spirit. His ability and what he did were through the gifts of the Spirit, or otherwise John 14:12 would be alive. That he said to us, he said, the things that I do, so shall you do even greater, because I go to the Father. You see, I'm with the Father. So we can't do what Jesus did unless it's through these things. You see, he had to make a way, because if he did it in his personality as God, we could say we can't do any of it, because we couldn't. We can't do what God does. Only God does these things anyhow. He does it through us. You see, we don't raise the dead. We don't cast out devils. We don't heal the sick. But he does them through us, you see. We avail ourselves to do what he tells us to do, and then it happens, you see. And people look at you or me or somebody else that does miracles and works in areas, and they say, wow, look what Brother So-and-so did. Brother So-and-so didn't do it. I didn't do it. I never healed anybody. I never raised any dead. I never did anything, because it was him through me that did these things, you see. There isn't a man alive that ever did anything like that. It was always God through him that did it, you see. So never give any glory to the man or say, oh, look at Brother So-and-so. If I just get him to lay his hands on me. No, 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 no. No, these signs will follow them, I believe it said, Mark 16. It doesn't say evangelist so-and-so or great prophet so-and-so or whatever. It says those that will believe, you see. You don't have to be in the fivefold ministry to do these things. You do not have to be in the fivefold ministry. All you have to do is believe the word, because it's, whosoever will believe my word, it will work for them. Not some big calling or 25 years of Bible school or something like that. The word works for everybody. I don't care what color your skin is, how much education you have, how much money you have, or what you have, you see. Peter was a dumb fisherman. He was one of the most uneducated men in the Bible, wasn't he? Paul was one of the real educated. He was very intelligent, wasn't he? But yet, Paul go to the Gentiles and Peter went to the Jews, right? Now, Peter, God used Peter's shadow to heal the sick. Peter was a mighty man of God. He and Paul were pretty equal when it comes to power. Now, of course, we realize that Paul wrote the biggest part of the Bible in the New Testament there. He wrote all these books, many books, but yet in their power and anointing. So that shows me, and the Christian world don't get this yet. Most of them don't get it. If you don't have an education, you don't have it. God can't use you this way. You had to graduate from here. You must be a doctorate in here. You must have this. You must have that. Well, I'll tell you what. If that would be the case, Peter would have never made it. But God called the unlearned men of God to serve him, didn't he? He called them, and he used them mightily. And he'll do that for you. I don't care if you had school, no school, or whatever you had, you see. So it's believe in his word to call an anointing in your life, it gets the job done, folks. So never limit yourself saying, well, I haven't had an education, I haven't had this or that. Don't ever limit yourself, because God is the one that gives you the ability, the call, and enablement to do it, you see. It's not man, it's not school, it's not what man or the church says. Many times the churches get in the way of God's move. In fact, most of them do. Most of them do. I'm telling you. Some of the churches, they put their pronounce on many people what they expect. You couldn't do this. You can't do that. You have to do this. If you didn't do that, you're not qualified for that. I've been put out of things for that before because of various things. And I know many people listening now could probably say the same thing. So actually, many times, people have actually prevented men and women for a period or stunted them from being in something and doing something because they said, well, you can't do this. If you didn't have this, then you can't do that. So they, God told them to do it, but yet they said, no, we're not going to let you do it. How many times have people blocked what God wanted to do by getting in the way, misreading, misunderstanding the Bible by the Spirit? And they've had 50 years of education. So it's through the Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit and through the call of God. I didn't intend on saying this tonight, but it came out, so I believe there's some people that need to hear this maybe. And there may be some people who are getting the way of God that are doing this too. Okay, so we talked about the gift of faith there. That's an anointing that comes upon you for a purpose. He'll lead you in that when that gift comes upon you, and you'll know that you know that what you're ministered to is going to happen. It's a done deal. It's manifested. It's not going to be something we're standing on until it happens and believing, like Mark 11:24, the things that you desire when you pray, believe it, you receive them, and you'll have them. It's going to manifest, you see. Okay, healings. Gift of healings. That's of your body, your spirit, body, and soul. Okay, there's physical healings, emotional healings, and destructive attitude healings. And healings, I used to think what this gift of healings mean. It isn't just of healing, gifts of healing, but healings means this. You know, some people, especially some of these older people who've been around the world a long time, they say, well, you know, I've had more success for cancer being healed through my ministry. Another might say, well, I had more for blindness being healed. Another one, well, I had more for people that are crippled. You see, how does God use you the most? What are the healings that usually are manifesting in what in your ministry as you minister in the gift of healing? What is it usually happening? What is usually the most distinguished is what it actually signifies, you see, what happened the most, because there's various healings. Some people will pray, have the gift of healings, and they'll pray for the people with cancer. It'll happen, really. People will be helped. They'll hear, delivered. And then they'll pray, remember, somebody that's blind and it doesn't work as well for them for some reason. It's just like an anointing for that. There's just different types, you see. Because none of us are complete in ourselves. You know, Jesus was the full package. You and I have a part in this, a part in that. We put us all together, we get the job done. Jesus got the job done by himself, you see. It's sort of like a puzzle. You can have a picture of Jesus in a puzzle, and in all those parts, I'm a part, you're a part, we're all a part, okay? But you don't get the full picture of Jesus until it's completely put together. And that's the way it is. We're a complete package deal whenever we are operating under the obedience of the Holy Spirit as he leads us to do what we're called to do. Then we reflect Jesus by what he does in this earth. But it takes us all to do that, where Jesus did it all himself, because he showed everybody to a part. He demonstrated everything that we as puzzle parts, we get this, we get that, we do this, we do that, you see. Now, healings. Okay. As I said a minute ago, healings many times will happen different ways too, as we saw when Jesus healed. You notice there's a lot of times there's different ways when he healed people. Remember the blind man? Remember he had to get into the water, you know, and he had to dip, and of course, it happened. He saved his sight back. Then take up your bed and walk. Or something else that say to him. But there's one thing in there a lot of people miss when Jesus healed people. He never said that he did it because, you know, he was the Lord of himself. Or the person, that if it wouldn't have been the Lord doing it, somebody else would do it. They wouldn't say, because of my faith you're healed. He always said, thy faith has made thee whole, didn't he? Woman had the issue of blood, the blind man, leprosy. He go your way. Your faith has made you whole. It's always been your faith, you see. It wasn't on him. He was there, but he was saying, you had faith in me to do the job, and since you had faith, it happened. Your faith made it happen. I'm the healer, but your faith in me made it happen. So it's not the man of God that's standing up there praying for you, ministering over you. It's your faith in Jesus, not in that man either. That man's just a vessel. When Jesus is there, you'd be looking at him if Jesus was on the earth, and I have faith in you, Jesus. But when the evangelist up there, the pastor, whoever, you say, I have faith in you, Jesus, you see him as a vessel up there, as a hand extended from Jesus, but you're looking to Jesus directly. Never consider the man or his fame or his fortune, you see. Some people will want so-and-so to pray for them. They want somebody else to pray. If it's not somebody that's well-known, oh, I don't want my pastor to pray for them. I don't want brother or sister so-and-so. I want to go to so-and-so, you see. And that's wrong. In fact, a lot of people that have went to churches had that attitude. They went to these meetings where the famous healing evangelists and ministers were, and they didn't receive their healing because God wanted to use certain people, you see, to do the job. And he might want some lowly servant, maybe some person in the street that knows Jesus or some person that just got saved or what have you. He'll want to use them, and you think, oh, my, this person doesn't know anything. They can't do anything. They want to pray for you. I've seen him use four-year-olds when people. I've seen him fall under the power. You know, he said, if you don't do it, the rocks will cry out to me, right? So don't look at the vessel. That vessel has to be a certain way that you expect them to be because they looked at David that way. They picked everybody but him to be the next king over Israel, and they were all wrong, weren't they? And then when it came to him, they didn't want to even do that then. The brothers, they said, well, look at him. He's a little ruddy character. He's not king material. But he uses the uncommonly things, the commonly things that don't appear very likely, unlikely things, because the reason he does that is because so he can get the glory. Because if you have somebody up there really looks the part and is the man or the woman, a lot of people say, oh, isn't he great? Isn't she great? You see, that takes the glory from him. But if you use somebody that you don't even consider and it happens, you're going to say, wow, you see. That's why in these last days, he's going to use the lady that works at McDonald's. He's going to use a man that maybe is a carpenter or maybe he's a mechanic. He's going to use people you wouldn't expect, common folks, to do great things, you see, to do great things. That way, people look at them and say, wow, I know so-and-so, and he doesn't do anything. Something's going on here. What is it? And, of course, that's where we turn the picture and turn them over to Jesus right there, you see. We tell them who did it. Because the tendency of people, just like it was when Peter and John healed the man, the crippled man there, they wanted to give them the credit, and they soon told them it wasn't them that did it, you see. Because usually the man or woman that ministered to them, they put them up there and high, and they say, oh, that's the healer. They're going, that's the healer. But no, it's Jesus the healer. So it's your responsibility when God uses you to make known to the folks that who really did it, you see. Don't you try to take the glory for it. Because you didn't do it, you see. So that's probably enough said right there, but you need to recognize that. Matter of fact, if you have an attitude of that, you're not going to be used for it very much because you're not in the place to do it, you see. He wants people that are humble are going to give him a glory. He doesn't want somebody that's going to take the glory, try to take the glory, because that brings a real problem when you do something like that. Okay, so that's two of the power gifts right there, the gift of faith, the gift of healings, okay, miracles. Excuse me. Gift of miracles, okay? That's a supernatural event that happens immediately. Good example of that, biblical example, would be the Red Sea, when God divided the Red Sea. I could give you many personal things that happened, but one specific thing I will give you. My wife was in an automobile accident years ago. She was riding with a friend of ours, and this lady was driving, pulled across the street to go to the store to pick up some groceries, and it looked all clear, you know, it was like a street, there was several rows of traffic, didn't see anything coming. When she pulled out, there was a car that must have come up there just out of the blue, and bang, broadsided her where my wife was sitting on the passenger side. Now, you know what that is, if a car broadsides you on the passenger side, that's not too cool, right? And folks, I went out to look at that car. And I'm not going to go into the whole detail of the story, but I'm going to just get to the meat of it to give you understanding what I'm talking about, miracles. I nearly fainted. I nearly fell over when I saw that car. But as sure as I'm sitting here ministering to you over this radio station, you know, when the car hit that door had metal, ragged edge, sharp-edged metal, which a door would have, you know, and there's like a console there. And where that metal came to where my wife was sitting against the car console on the left, her left side there, there might have been 10 inches. There might have been 10 inches. By all rights, that should have went about halfway through her body. It should have penetrated her, that metal, into her and just ripped her out. But I looked at that, and she had bruises, you know. But that was it. There was no cut, no blood or anything like that. But by looking at that, it was impossible. It was about as special as 50 people getting out of a little Volkswagen. You've heard of things like that. Something is, wow, that can't be. That can't be. You see, how did that happen? And I just come to the conclusion, for all things that are just so far above my head or anybody else's head, because God's God. Because God is God, he can do anything. He can grow grass and concrete. He can grow you, if you're 4 feet tall, he can make you 8 feet tall overnight. God can do anything, you see. He said, with man, it's impossible. With me, all things are possible. So you see, you got to take the lid off of God and things that we're doing. We have to do that, folks. But, I mean, I was just so amazed. I could sit here all night and tell you stories, but that isn't what this is about tonight. It's about miracles and things, what God has done in the ministry and through the ministry. And I've seen some just a couple months ago in a case that I had that ministered to a man that received the baptism over the phone. I did barely said anything in his life, and it turned around. In fact, I had him on this program. And if you get a chance to listen to it, it was done in, I think it was done about November. I forget the exact date, but if you can look back to that program, Andrew Evans is his name, Andrew, A-N-D-R-E-W-E-V-I-N-S. And if you listen to that testimony, Evangelist Fields has this program, myself and my wife were on it. There was four of us right there, and there was miracles that happened in that program that night. Evangelist Fields was healed, and there were several other miraculous things that happened. And I don't know what all it was, but I know there was a few other people that it spoke about, I could see. But if you get a chance, listen to that testimony, because these are over the wall testimonies. I mean, these are just out of the ballpark testimonies. They're so great. And I have another one. I'm not going to share anything about it tonight or anything. It's just been things going on. They're just out of the park that only God can do. I mean, it really, when you see these things happen, you think, what in the world did I have to do with this? You know, God's using you as a vessel, but you don't feel like you're used. You don't, because you know it's not you. It's so obvious. It's so obvious. It's almost like me standing beside a big tractor trailer truck and something underneath it lifts it up, and I'm out there, you know, saying and speaking to come up, and it comes up. Now, I know I can't lift up a tractor trailer truck, so I would feel so not part of that as you could be. You would too, wouldn't you? And that's the way God is, you know. He'll speak things and say things. And, well, the Red Sea divided. How do you think Moses, what do you think he sensed? How do you think he felt? And all these things. I mean, he does things that humans don't walk or do. Or Peter walking on the water. Come on now. We're talking about God's work. And this is the kind of God we're serving, folks. It's time that you and I start to realize these things and believe these things and start trying to put on some Hollywood show instead of the power of God demonstrating in and through our lives. And that's what God is looking for today. He's looking for men and women. Well, let him get on the stage and let him show himself. He wants to show himself to this world through you and I, and we need to let him do it, don't we? Do I hear amen there? Well, I'm going to amen it. This is good teaching, folks. This is good. Okay. We're down to the vocal gifts now. We finished up the after we did the last one there, we had the revelation gifts, and, of course, we did the power gifts. But these vocal gifts, what are these vocal gifts? Well, the first one is prophecy, and this is one I think has been misunderstood, because a lot of times they call like a word of wisdom prophecy or something like this. Now, prophecy, true prophecy, was back in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit was on a certain man like Isaiah or various great prophets of God. There was no Holy Spirit in the people at that time, so what they heard was instructions, what they were to do. They didn't have a spiritual ears or spiritual eyes, and they had to do what they were told through a man of God, like a Samuel, like an Isaiah. He spoke to them, you see. Now, that was giving them instruction what to do, but prophecy today is simply exhortation, comforts, and understanding. It gives us that. It's not a negative thing, prophecy. It's an edifier. It builds you up prophetically by the word, you see. By we speak the word, it exhorts people, you see, prophetically. Prophetically. We're not talking about a word that comes forth like we were a while ago for a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, which usually is a negative or a positive. That's what they are. We kind of miscall those things. But prophecy exhorts only. It doesn't condemn or bring something down. prophecies. Back in the day, there was a little different meaning to a prophet, because a prophet was the one that told people what to do. You and I don't tell people, I'm a prophet. I have anointing with a prophet. I'm an apostle. I'm an evangelist. I'm doing pastoral work, and I'm a teacher. So I'm operating basically in all five folds of the ministry there, some more so than others, I guess. But the thing about it is, when we are in a prophetic thing and what we do, it's not really real important that we know everything and we can point everything out. But it's good to know these things. But the most important thing is to walk in them. I'm not too concerned about what my life, what things are. I'm this, I'm a prophet, I'm apostle, whatever, and all these things are an evangelist. That doesn't concern me. My only biggest concern is to operate, walk in the office and be what the office is and do it. It's being and doing it. It's not titles. I don't go for much in titles. I honestly don't. A lot of times it's just a lot of arrogance and puff-up things, you know. That's all it is. It's a lot of baloney. And I'd rather stay away from that, you know. I'd rather just, my name's Ed. And that's what I like. I just don't, I'm uncomfortable with a lot of this stuff, you know what I mean? I'm a simple, very simple man. And I believe the Word. I believe what it says. I walk in the Word. I have faith in God. And that's the way I am. I don't carry out a lot of foolishness and try to be impressive. But I simply believe you and I need to walk in these things. Now, as I said, prophecy exhorts. It brings comfort to you, builds you up, right? So that's what prophecy is. That's what prophecy is in the biblical account of it for this day and age. Tongues, okay. Now, tongues, I'll read a little thing that I have right here, but I'm going to explain to you a little bit. Supernatural utterance through the power of the Holy Spirit in a person that manifests a spiritual language. The Holy Spirit energizes the tongue and edifies believers through language and music. It is most misunderstood gift of the Spirit. It is not the prayer language. And that is so true. The gift of tongues and prayer language are two separate things. The gift of tongues, not everybody will operate in the gift of tongues. That's where there's been confusion, that people say, well, have you seen the baptism of the Holy Ghost speak in tongues? Well, not everybody speaks in tongues, because Paul says they all speak in tongues. Well, no, they don't all speak in tongues. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost is your prayer language. The gift of tongues is something separate, because you cannot operate in any of these gifts of the Spirit unless the Spirit of God gives them to you as He wills, you see. I can't claim one gift of the Spirit. Nobody can claim any gift of the Spirit, except when the Holy Spirit says, well, I'm going to put this on Ed. I'm going to put this on Joe. I'm going to anoint him with this, that he'll use this, because he's in service now, so I want to use this gift to him to do to this person or persons what I want to do, you see. So I can't claim that. Now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, that's your prayer language. I pray in tongues just like I pray in my understanding here when I prayed before the service started, before the program tonight. I pray where I understand what I'm saying. You can hear what I'm saying all. And I've spoken tongues over many of these programs. I would be speaking and I'd come out with something. That's the Holy Spirit using me to pray. And he gives me answer what to say and do, because I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. So he'll speak to me. I want this said. I want that said. Somebody's being healed of cancer. Somebody's being delivered. He'll speak in tongues to me in the gifts of spirit. That's not the gift of tongues, though. That's praying in the spirit. But the gift of tongues is something mostly used in the church when you get up and the spirit has you speaking in tongues, and then there's an interpreter. Like, you can interpret if the Lord chooses you, or somebody there will interpret it. Anytime a message in the church is given, there needs to be an interpreter, okay? That's a message from God. That's a message from God, you see. He's speaking to the church. And many times, you know, when God gives you something, you interpret it. But not all the time. Sometimes, maybe like if you're going to a church, you get up and you give a message in tongues, well, then the pastor might interpret it or whoever. But the thing is, it needs to be in a language that you understand. Because if I get up in a church and start speaking in tongues, then I sit down, nobody says anything. What good does it do you? Just like Paul said in the Bible, right? So there needs to be understanding, okay? So it's an utterance the Spirit puts upon you, and you sense it within you. Sometimes your mouth will kind of quiver. You're just kind of urged to get up. You know, I've had people say their chest starts to hurt them, or some will say they just feel they just have to get up. And there's just certain something with your emotions that touches you, and you know you need to do it, you see. So, but you get up there, and then, of course, like I say, there must be an interpreter. Now, there's a unknown tongue, which is God's really, the devil can't interpret it. You see, tongues of angels, it's an unknown tongue. A known tongue assigned to believers. Like at Pentecost, they spoke in different languages there, of all the languages, and all the people were there. You know, everybody heard the messages in their own tongue. You see, whatever language it would be like, say, well, I'll use example for here, like Spanish, French, whatever, Italian, you see, this type of thing. So they heard it there. That was for a sign of the Holy Ghost when it was at Pentecost. And anyhow, a known tongue through interpretation edifies the church. And like I said a minute ago, at Pentecost, they were edified, you see, through that. So that's the gift of tongues. So, but anytime somebody tells you that, well, you don't need the, you're not going to speak in tongues because not everybody gets tongues, well, that's two separate entities. So the gift of tongues and then, of course, the prayer language. 1 Corinthians 14 says, I will pray in the Spirit, I'll sing in the Spirit, you see. I'll pray with understanding, I'll sing with my understanding. So that signifies, and I'll tell you this, and we're not teaching about the prayer language tonight. I have a message, if you look back a few months in the on-demand section, it's really been a powerful message. A lot of people have looked at it. It's really blessed a lot of people. I'll explain to you, and I even lead you how to receive it and pray for you to receive it on there. So if you're looking back in the demand section, look back there a few months, and it's called Baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when you have that's not you praying. That's God praying by His Holy Spirit through you. See, when I pray, I don't always know how to pray. I don't always know what to say. But God knows how to pray, and what He says is always right on target. So all He's doing is just speaking through this mouth of mine, this tongue, and I'm just speaking it out, you see, and I'm praying perfectly. In fact, sometimes I've found, and I've heard other people say this, I can pray in the Spirit, you know, pray in the Spirit a lot, and all of a sudden some things will happen, and I'll recognize, well, hey, I never prayed about this. No, I didn't pray about it, but the Spirit of God prayed through me to say. And the prayer language is for three purposes. One thing is to build yourself up. It speaks of in the book of Jude. You build yourself up by praying the prayer language, okay? The second thing, you might be praying for somebody over in Africa or somewhere. You don't even know who you're praying for. They might be in danger, and you couldn't pray it in your language, but who speaks through you praying for those people, right? And the next thing is to glorify and worship the Lord, because have you ever been in a place that you just want to love the Lord and just praise Him, but you just can't seem to get enough out of you to get there in your language, what you're saying? You can't praise Him enough. You just aren't, it's not adequate what you are and who you are. So therefore, you go into the prayer language, and that is what is adequate, you see. You aren't adequate. Your prayer language, my prayer language, is not adequate in what we speak in our own language, but the language of tongues, it is, because that's the Holy Spirit praying through you, and the Holy Spirit is God, okay? Now, another thing that you want to keep in mind about praying in tongues, and this isn't a gift of tongues. I've kind of got off into the, for some reason, God wanted me to say this here. I definitely hadn't planned on saying this. But it's one thing that Satan can't understand. He can't interpret it. He knows what I'm saying now. He hears me now, right? But he cannot understand the prayer language. So that seals him out, you see. That's another good benefit with that, all right? Okay. Now, tongues, we talked about tongues and prophecy, right? Now, when I said interpretation, that's the verbalization of a diverse tongue. So that's the other gift of the Spirit in vocal gifts right there, is interpretation. In other words, when there's a message given, it needs to be interpreted. That's the gift of interpretation. Now, put the gift of tongues, like say I get up at a church and I start speaking in tongues, right? Okay, I interpret it. That is equal to prophecy. That is equal to prophecy. And that's what that gift of prophecy I said a while ago is. It edifies and encourages you. See, they're the three vocal gifts, prophecy, gift of tongues, and gift of interpretation. So tongues and interpretation is equal to prophecy. I'll give you an example of prophecy. The first time I ever did that was way back in the 70s. And I was at a meeting with the Full Gospel Businessmen. Oh, my, it's been probably about 40-some years ago. And I was a young Christian then. You know, I got saved in 70, baptized in the Holy Ghost, June 71. It might have been 73, 74. And we had a famous speaker, B.H. Glendon, a great man of God from Texas, was there that night. And there was hundreds of people around, and they were people that were reputable. And I was a young Christian, young guy then. And anyhow, what happened, I had a message, and I was kind of fighting it because I never gave a prophecy before. But the Lord had me do it, and I got up, and I gave that prophecy, and it was real. People reacted to it and everything, but I had a little problem getting up because I wasn't just at some local church or around 30, 40, 50, or 100 people. There was hundreds of people there, and there was a man who's a well-known great man of God, and I was there 30-some years old, I guess, and a young man, and most of them are older than I was anyhow, and anyhow, I got up and gave that. So sometimes that's a challenge in these gifts sometimes, that you and I will have enough boldness to get up there, but don't be afraid of failure, because I'll tell you something, it takes practice and it takes working these things to become more proficient. We become more proficient as we walk in them longer and longer, you see. But don't be afraid of failure, I'm going to look funny or something like that. But this exercise when it's there, because it'll be an unction. It won't be a driving thing like the devil does, just beat you on you to do something, but you'll sense, you'll know, hey, I got to get up. And I've had times, you know, in church of God, give me a prophecy, and this is maybe a couple of years ago, I guess, this incident happened in a church, and I knew I had to get up and give a prophecy, but it was in the midst of song service, okay? What happened was they were singing. I said, well, Lord, I said, you just have to open the door for me, because it says in 1 Corinthians 14:32, let the gift of the prophets be subject to the prophets. That means your gift can't drive you out to interrupt the service or do something. Your gift doesn't drive you. You have control of the gift, right? You have control to say yes or to say no. So it's never right to do it. Some people I've heard say, well, hey, I just had to get up or say something. No, you didn't. You were to get up and say something, but in God's timing. So what happened? I sat there and I waited, and all of a sudden there was a lull in the service there. It was quiet. You know, the song leader had quieted and didn't say anything. I knew that was my time to get up. So he'll make time for you. But the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. So never just jump up there and say, well, I got something here, and interrupt the pastor preaching or the song leader leading or whatever they're doing, because it's gentlemanly. It's a gentlemanly thing to do, and let the spirit of the prophets have its subject to it. 1 Corinthians 14:32, spirit of the prophet has over the charge over the prophecy that came forth. So you have charge over what you have, you see. There's never something that comes upon you that you just can't help yourself, in a sense of something you would interrupt the service or something like that. But he'll make time for you, so that's something else you need to learn. He'll make time for whether it's prophecy that you're given. And interpretation of tongues, a lot of times you don't need that, because basically after somebody gives a message in tongues, sometimes you can wait. There might be a couple people get the interpretation, but sometimes it's good just to wait just a little bit and then take off, because maybe somebody else wants to give you interpretation or whatever. But generally that goes pretty much together. So that is the gifts of the Spirit, folks. That's the gifts of the Spirit. And if you listen to these three messages, I believe they'll help you understand a little more about these things. Because we need to be at a place that we do have understanding of them, but the most important thing we get is not just the understanding of them, but to put them into practice, you know, want them to work in and through our lives. Because I pray God use the gifts of the Spirit through me as they're needed. We need that, because it says seek the greater gifts, seek the gifts of God. And more important, seek walking in love, you know, walking in love, because that's faith worketh by love, in Galatians 5:6 it says. So we need to be at a place that we desire these things to operate in our lives, that we can be greater witnesses for the Lord, be more effective with people, see more results. That's what it's about, but it's all for service. This isn't for self-glorification, or so we can put another title over our name or before our name, or have people say, whoa, look at him, look at her. You see, that's bad. That's bad, you see. Never consider that. Know who you are. And know who God is. Know what you are without God. Know what you are with God. You see, that's the key to it. Because I'll tell you, when you start being puffy-headed about things, God can just back off of you for a while and let you operate in self. And that is a scary thing, folks. I've been there and done that. Know that? I know what that's like. And he draws himself from you. All of a sudden, it's your great strength and your great power, and you might think you're a great somebody, but you just find out very shortly how great you really are. That's a painful experience, because I'm telling you, folks, when God gives you a whipping, it's a hard deal. So it's better to listen to him, that he doesn't have to put his belt out and whip you with it, you know? I'd rather listen to him first time. I'll tell you something else about God. I'm getting in some things here I never really intended to say here, but there you go again, the Lord's service, not mine. You know, there's been men, and I know cases, I could name some names, but I will not do that. But there is cases where God has dealt with people, they need to stop doing this or stop doing that, and they had men and women come to them, warnings coming to them, and they don't obey them. So at the very last straw, God actually brings a worldly person in there, and they start to criticize them about that very thing. It starts to get pointed out that about that person's wrongness that they're hiding and not willing to change. But then what will happen in the church world, they'll see that and say, well, that's a worldly guy. That's a devil using somebody against brother so-and-so or pastor so-and-so or evangelist so-and-so. But, you know, God uses even people of this world. Sometimes it will expose somebody that's doing something, you know, when that person will not listen to him or not listen to his people, will just not pay attention as a last resort. You know that? And sometimes when we think, well, that's the devil coming against brother or sister so-and-so, that's not the devil. They didn't listen to God. So God has to open their eyes one way or another. And generally that's a big eye-opener because then they start to really pray, and what am I doing wrong? What's going on, Lord? You know, what, he can drive you to your knees, folks. God can drive us to our knees very easily. We without him and his presence, he withdraws himself a little bit from us. That's going to bring us back to reality of who we are and who he is. And sometimes he has to do that if we get too puffy ahead, you know, too big-headed about things or proud, because proud comes before the fall. Amen? And I guess it's a good thing, that God's bringing these things out because these gifts of the Spirit, a lot of times people are using to kind of get big-headed, and they're using them a mighty way, and they think of themselves more than they ought to think. So we need to have humility with the gifts of the Spirit. Now, if the fruit of the Spirit, that is when we're dying to ourselves. So the biggest thing about the fruit of the Spirit and the foundation of the fruit of the Spirit is simply reckon yourself dead. Reckon yourself dead, dying to yourself is what the fruit of the Spirit requires. And that's why it's not too glamorous, because it's painful. It hurts to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. It does. Don't lie to one another and say, oh, that's no big deal. The Lord help me, I can do it. Yes. Yes, he does. He helps you and it makes it a lot easier and things that you flow with. But there's some pain that we have to deal with as we die to ourselves, you see, folks. But we have to be willing. We have to be willing because what we want to do is we want to be mighty men and mighty women of God doing great works that we can hear well done now, good and faithful servant, and make a change in this world because this world is looking for Jesus, really. They're looking for somebody they can look up to. They can look up to. They don't know they're looking for Christ, but they really are with what they wanted. Only he can deliver it. You can't deliver it, and I can't either. But if we're obedient, Jesus can deliver it through us, you see, to what this world needs. We have the answer to the world, and that's Jesus Christ, don't we? So we need to start incorporating these fruits in our lives. My wife and I have recommitted ourselves to God and correcting the things that are wrong in my life and the things that are wrong in her life, more so in my life, okay? And anyhow, we're doing that, and then to use this in whatever ways you can, and I'm seeing it work in some wonderful ways, you see. And I've been serving the Lord for 50 years almost, since 1970. August 3, 1970, my wife the same thing. But we always need to recognize, I don't care how long you serve the Lord, how much you know, or how long you've known it, you have to come to the place that recognize each day is a new challenge. You might have been Superman yesterday, but you're starting out fresh today, and what are you going to do today? You're going to reach out and do the same thing and really put it all in his hands, put on that full armor, walk in the fruit of the Spirit, be open for the gifts of the Spirit, and look for opportunities to do what he wants you to do, and keep your ears open, your spiritual ears open, so you can hear his leading you for what steps you're to take, you see? Because the steps he leads us in, we must take those steps in order to get to where he wants us to go, because you and I don't know what steps we're to take, but the steps of a righteous man are word of the Lord, right? So if we're righteous in the Lord, then we're going to hear his voice, and then we're going to know what to do, you see. But if I don't know what to do or how to get there, how in the world am I going to get there, you see? It's through him, right? So anyhow, that's how we're going to close this series right here, but I would just ask you all and invite you all just to listen to these three sections right here, these three times, these three parts, and put them together and say, how does you want me to put these into my life, apply these, Lord? I want to walk in these things. I want to be what I'm to be. I want to do what I'm to do, and I want to really sense your presence and your power in my life, and I want to be committed. I want to really accomplish something in this world. I want to do something here. There's much going on. I want to be blessed of you, and I want to bring forth much fruit. And if you do that, he'll do that because that's what the Lord is looking for, willing vessels, right? So let's close in prayer right here. I'm going to leave it there with that, and I invite you all back next week. I have another message that the Lord has laid in my heart, and I believe it will bless everybody, okay? Okay, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this message tonight, Father, that it was for every one of us, not just those that I'm speaking to, but myself included, my wife included, all of us, Father. We recognize that it's for all of us. We're all part of this thing. None of us are perfect in our walks. We all have plenty of growing to do, Father. And I would just pray for this audience right now that they would receive this word into their hearts and you would direct them. You would enable them and strengthen them, Father, and direct their steps. And you said in Philippians 2:13 that you that works in us and through us to your good pleasure. So let your good pleasure be in each and every one that hears my voice today, as well as for my own self. Every one of us, Father, we choose to do the things that please you and please you in all our ways. And, Father, we give you all glory. We praise the name of Jesus. We just praise you, Father God. We exalt you, Father. We exalt you, Heavenly Father. We glorify you. We thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price for us and made this all possible for us. And we just glorify you, Lord. And they all said, amen and amen. Okay, everybody, we will be on next week, Lord willing. And you have a blessed week. And just look to the Lord for all things. And just let him minister to you. And I know when you come back in this program next week, you'll have testimony that you know, even though we're not talking to one another on the phone right now or in the program. But you'll have something from the Lord. I know you will, because you're going to receive this week. You just be open for what God wants to do in and through your life, and you won't be disappointed. Good night, everybody.